Welcome to Business Mentorship Keeping It Real, where we introduce corporate leaders who have taken the leap to business owner and participate with their great idea in our guest blog found on shareyourstories.online. Our guest is Sonia Macaluso, who joins us from Hamilton, Ontario. Sonia has a commitment to bridging the literacy gap. Let's find out why this speaker, high five facilitator, and physical literary instructor has a passion for equality in education. It's my pleasure to introduce and welcome Sonia Macaluso.
Good morning. And can I first off just say I absolutely love your show.
Thank you.
And I am so humbled to have been invited to be here today, Trish. Thank you so, so much. I've checked out all of the episodes on the LinkedIn that you have, and it's just amazing. I love how you go out of your way to bring the best out of all of the women entrepreneurs in the world. And it really means a lot. It really means a lot. So you're really great job at moving the dial for others. And thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a really sweet thing for you to say. Now, you have three pillars in your business. One, which is first aid, a great pillar to build community impact. Give our viewing and listening audience a little bit of a behind the scenes as to how you became a trainer in this field.
That's a really excellent question. And I really wish I had like a simple answer, but it came about completely by mistake. I'm going to be honest. I come from an education world, like from kindergarten, to be more specific. I'm really animated if you haven't figured that out by now. So due to things that happened along the lines of my journey in the classroom, I came to a conclusion. I was like, I want to learn how to do something, but my first language is French. So I do struggle a little bit here and there with my English words. So if you see me and you know what I'm trying to say, just throw it out there for me. So I had to remove myself from the classroom for a little bit of time. And I wanted to take first aid, but I wanted to do it in my native tongue in French. And in Hamilton, I looked everywhere and I couldn't find a single service in French. And I thought, okay, that's a problem. And then I ended up having to go to Toronto for that, which is, it's really frustrating for those commuters out there. So I thought that was just one of the things that kind of made my decision to become a first aid instructor amongst other things. So eventually over time, I just started chipping away at it little at a time because it's approximately, I'd say a 2.5 to 3 year process. And I don't want to scare anybody by saying like, oh my goodness, that's forever. It's just because you have to wait for the programs to come up.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes the programs come up and they're in Ottawa.
Right.
Okay, well, I'm Hamilton. So you have to keep waiting and waiting. So that's what moved the dial for me is now I'm a first aid instructor. I'm also a qualified mentor. I'm the only French mentor actually in the Niagara GTA area. So I'm like super excited about that. So honest to goodness, it all started because there were no French services for our community. And my father always said to me, if you're going to complain, try to be part of the solution.
So true. That is so true. And you know, that's a really wonderful way for you to connect with the business community, because first aid is not only important for the average person who lives in a community, but it's super important for businesses. And you know, when I visited your website, I took a look at some of the folks that you've established partnerships with, and kudos to you for sort of going out there and doing the ask, because that's a part of entrepreneurship as well that not everybody finds is that comfortable. But give us a little bit more insight into the issue of the French English and literacy around. I mean, you were a teacher. You're now, do you do first aid in French as well as English? Have you ever been asked for anyone to do a class in French?
Yes, actually. So So I'm just trying to break down your question in two and translating in my brain at the same time. I do trainings with Collège Boréal, which is at Jackson Square, because we have a lot of new Canadians here where their main language is French.
Right.
And then what have I noticed in the community as far as French goes and where that's taken me in my journey? I started looking at other different organizations or other courses or other qualifications and things of that kind to see what was available in French. And I'm talking full spectrum. I'm talking adult education. I'm talking youth education. I'm talking the active older community education piece. So I noticed that there was no high five educators in French in the area. And again, that's for youth. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of youth when they come to Canada, English is not their first language, which
and it's a difficult language to learn, right? I mean, for those of us who were born and raised with English speaking as a first language, we take it for granted. But if it's not your first language, it's extremely difficult to learn.
It is. It is. It really is. Because there's so many verbs. Even I get confused.
True. That's so true.
So I just took it upon myself to, I guess my whole reason, to be quite honest with you, is to build a village and that everyone has their place. Everyone feels welcome. Everyone feels like they belong.
Sure. The inclusion factor, right?
Yes. Yeah. Merci. There you go. Thank you so much for Just throw the words out. Yeah. My teaching partner used to do that to me all the time. She's like, Sonia, I know you're trying to say this. So I'm going to throw it out there. Thank you. So I'm just slowly trying to move the dial for the inclusion part of the Francophone community. Because you may or may not know, but like in Hamilton, we are approximately 15,000 Francophones.
Wow.
And if you're going to throw in the immersions and if you're going to throw in like new Canadians coming in, we're approximately, and they're called Francophiles, we're 45,000.
Wow, that's a lot, actually. I would have no idea.
Exactly. And that's what's driving me right now is to see what services are not available in French and see if I can offer those opportunities.
Sure.
And let's not forget, this is all out of my own pocket. Like I have to pay.
That's what entrepreneurship's all about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I just don't want people to think it came just, you just went and took a course and that's it. Like there's quite an investment behind it.
Absolutely. So, you know, in terms of the investment, we know that it's an emotional investment. It's also an investment of time and an investment of money. So if you were looking at the leadership skills that you acquired as a teacher, what would you say was the skill you used the most as an entrepreneur?
I would say coming from a kindergarten background, and I have to honor my teaching partner because Stephanie Machado was one of my teaching partners and she was really the teacher in the classroom. And I was like the French certified early childhood educator. But every time she spoke to me as a teacher and she would refer to me as a teacher. So I just kind of wanted to add that in that I am an early childhood educator, but I adored this woman because she was so equitable and like, we do the same job. So yeah, but to go back, I guess it's because in kindergarten for me, and it's funny, it always comes back to kindergarten, right? There's like you're planting a seed and you're not going to see it today.
That's so true. Mm-hmm.
And it was so humbling. Like, oh my gosh, I'm getting like char de poule.
Goosebumps.
Thank you. Just thinking about it. When I would see our kindergarten students in grade six, like I evolved with them for 6 years.
Sure. Right? Yeah, for sure.
And when I saw their level of French and they were like, Madame, it's because you only spoke French. And even in the hallway, I'd be like, you want to talk to me, you speak to me in French only.
Isn't that great? Well, that's how we learn, right?
Yeah. And I think I honestly have to bring it back to my class for the resiliency part because like, you don't see it.
You don't see it, but
it's after when you see it, you're like, I did that.
Yeah, it actually worked. I love your reference to planting a seed because clearly whatever you do in an education standpoint, whether it's, you know, leading a group of children or leading a group of adults and teaching them first aid, you're planting the seed for future knowledge.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Because first aid is hopefully not something that we need to use every day, but it's something that you put in your back pocket as a skill for the future. and gives you that little bit of extra confidence when you're dealing with your colleagues to know that there's someone in the organization who's got their back if they need their help, right?
Yes, exactly. You cannot put a price on that.
That's for sure. Now, you have two other pillars in your business, and one of them, maybe you can explain to us, what is a physical literacy instructor?
Right. So I am the chair of the 2024 Ontario Physical Literacy Summit. So it is an international running summit. We are the longest running summit in the world. We're going on, starting our 11th year now. And I'm going to be honest, what drove me to that is going back to your piece of, you know, being equitable. Physical literacy is just something where we are encouraging people to be physically active, fundamental movement skills, things that are so important to the mechanism of your machine.
You know, and overlooked.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
And overlooked.
People have the mentality that if I don't play a sport, I'm not physically active.
Right.
If I don't do this, I'm not physically, it doesn't qualify, but the machine keeps moving.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what is so important, as I said at the beginning, like I do early years and then I do the youth. And then there's when we, like I'm getting to that age as well. So I want to instill in people, not only the physical components of the fundamental movement skills, but it's going to help us in our later years.
Yeah, for sure.
So we become more mobile, more active. We continue a healthy lifestyle to that effect. And that's what drove me, is because my son is a high-functioning autistic child. So he didn't fit in the cookie-cutter mold of like phys ed class. And with physical literacy, we don't have a cookie cutter mold
approach. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
You got to think outside the box.
Yes. Right. Building the village so everybody feels like they belong.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's what drove me to this, is so that I could find a way for my son to find happiness being physically active and not feeling the weight of, I can't kick a ball, I hate soccer, or I'm not good at, you know, the aim for baseball, and I can't do frisbee. But just the fact that he has the ability of the fundamental movement skills and he enjoys moving his body, biking, hiking, I was like, that's a score for me.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, listen, if all of us could get out and spend 20 to 30 minutes a day doing some sort of physical activity, even if it's just walking, then that helps with our mental clarity. You know, it helps with our focus. It's motivating. So those are all really positive things that are really fundamental for any age and in any community. So all of those things are really wonderful that you're bringing to the forefront through your business and trying to connect the dots for people who maybe don't see how all of these functional things work together to give you a healthy and happy life.
You said the word functional. Yeah. You said the word and you're right on target. It's all about functional.
For sure. I mean, being of a certain age and being able to reach that top shelf to get the, you know, salt and pepper out, or being able to bend down to get the pots out of, you know, the bottom shelf, all of those things we have to continue to maintain, because the minute you sit and become sedentary, that doesn't work for anybody. Right?
That's it. You got it.
Yeah, you have to keep moving and learning. But I must admit, one of the things that I find really dynamic about your story is the fact that you bring a passion to your business that's visible. And I mean that in the way that you're energetic, you're positive, you're always looking for solutions or trying to be the solution to things that you see are a challenge in the community. So in the next 3 to 5 years, where do you see Sonia and her business?
Wow, that's a fantastic question. That is a fantastic question. In the next 3 to 5 years, I'm really, really hoping I can continue to change the narrative. Just continue to change the narrative, because I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to reinvent things that are already there. I just want something, just a little shift, a little wave in the water, so that it is more accessible for the Francophone community at all stages from, we always say it in the physical literacy world, from cradle to the grave. Right. So I want all Francophones in Hamilton to have access to things that are important to them, which would be first aid, which would be physical activity, which would be a high five for the youth, which would be personal development for children ages 9 to 12 in a program that we've developed for learning, which would be like, there's so many aspects. And even in the older community, which is really nice, because this really speaks to me, because like I said, like I'm in a season of life right now where 55 is not too far away.
Well, some people subscribe to the, you know, retirement at freedom. 55 is the word, right?
Right.
Or is the phrase that was out in marketing quite a few years ago. Well, kudos to you. That's a great place to be.
Well, it is, because I keep thinking, when you look at all the services, we forget about the older population. Mm-hmm. And it hurts. We just finished a project with ACFO, which is an association of Canadian Francophones of Ontario. And this project, oh my gosh, it spoke to my heart. We were bringing older adults with grade 4 or 5 students.
Cool. Role models.
Yes, right? We don't want the stigma of that generation to think, oh, they're just older people. Like, right. You have no idea of what these people have accomplished in their life.
Yeah, and we don't get to share their stories.
Yes, right?
We don't hear from them often enough.
Right, and they need to have their place. They need to have value and meaning as well. And the next generation coming up needs to learn from that. So
that's right.
Like I said, I'm cradle to the grave. So in 5 years, I really hope to just keep doing this and just fill in more gaps, just so that it's more organic,
inclusive.
And cohesive.
Yeah, for sure. I love those words. Now, you know, one of the things that I find that's really important and that you've really brought it to light is that role models and mentors and sharing life experience becomes really important in any community when you're building a solid foundation of people who are trying to connect the dots for positive change. Now, one of the things that we do in the guest blog is we ask folks to share 3 words of advice that are important to them in their business. And your 3 words are resiliency, determination, and the long game. So wrap up our conversation today by telling our viewing and listening audience why those 3 words are important for you.
Resiliency for me is important because you're never going to get it on the first go. You really, really need to be able to see the long game, which kind of resiliency goes into the long game. Like, you have to be able to sustain the long game and just be determined in what you're doing. You need to be able to be like bamboo, flex whenever you need to, be solid whenever you need to, pick yourself back up, because you will fall. And if you do not fall during this discovery journey, it's because you haven't pushed hard enough to learn a lesson, to move the envelope. Like you said, all those contracts that I came upon in my website, I had to go in and do a lot of talking and negotiating, and you get a lot of no's, but that's just a word. And I find it so funny, because in kindergarten, I would say no all the time, and these students would come back up and they'd ask me again. I always bring it back to kindergarten. The lessons I've learned from my students in my classroom will live with me and drive my business. It all comes back down to that classroom. I love it. And just, it's not going to be today. You got to plant your seed.
Yeah, so true.
You got to plant your seed and you got to keep going.
Well, I have to say, Sonia, you're planting lots of really wonderful seeds, and your garden, I'm sure, is going to grow lots of really wonderful business success for you. I love the visuals that you've given us, that you want to connect the dots through literacy, through a community, building positive growth, using mature folks as the role models and the mentors, which I think are really important. So we certainly wish you all the best in your future, because I think that what you've shared with us today really gives us the indication that we can all plant a seed to make a difference in our communities. And I think that's the thing that's really important.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity and this platform to share my passion with other people out there. And I, like I said from the beginning, I'm so humbled that you invited me to be here today. And keep doing what you're doing and moving the dial for other female entrepreneurs, because we all need you. We all need your work. Thank you. We all thank you for the deep down of our hearts. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And you know what? We're going to keep in touch, Sonia, and we're going to circle back in another 12 months, and you're going to come back onto the show and you're going to give us an update on how those seeds are that you planted today, what has grown and what has happened in your business in another year or so. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
To you, our viewing and listening audience, I'd like to thank you for joining us today for this edition of Keeping It Real, where we introduce you to the person behind the logo. If you'd like to connect with our guest, you'll find Sonia's contact information in the description portion below. I'm Trish Tonai, an author, artist, and the founder and host for this series. If you're interested in sharing your business story, visit our website at shareyourstories.online and subscribe to our channel, Business Mentorship, Keeping It Real. Thanks again for tuning in, and we look forward to meeting you next time when we share another great idea.